It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the book of Ephesians has taken us to chapter 4. Let me remind you that in verses 17 and 18, that Paul the Apostle was reminding the people of the church at Ephesus about certain things that evidently some people had come in there. They were teaching wrong things. They were not teaching things according to the grace of God. Paul the Apostle gave them instruction that they are not to live like unsaved people. They are to bring honor and glory to the Lord by living for Him and letting other people know that they're saved. And this brings us to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. And let me remind you of something here. Each time that you read or you hear me speak, you would understand that as we go through a section of Scripture, such as the book of Ephesians, the book of Acts, or whatever, each one of these times that we're together, they would be what I call a standalone lesson. In other words, if you miss a lesson, then you can start right up as we start in our new section here, like Ephesians 4:19 we're starting today. That would be a standalone lesson. In other words, you're not going to miss the idea that's going on within the book of Ephesians. And I would suggest to you that you listen at the end of the program. A website will be given to you that you can go back and you can listen to preceding programs or preceding chapters and verses as we've gone through the book of Ephesians. As we study this, I pray that you would be able to have your Bible open and you can study along with me and read along with me as I read the Scripture. It's so important for us to not only hear, but it's also important for us to see what we're hearing. This is something that I believe is important, that you and I would, as we feed upon the Word of God, we take it in, not only with our eyes, but with our hearing. So follow along with me if you would. We're going to pick up now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. Who being past feeling. Now, let me stop just a moment, and if you would go back and read the preceding verses, you'll see that Paul the Apostle says that that saved people are not to live like the Gentiles. And the Gentiles spoken of means the unsaved people. Now, Gentiles, all Gentiles are not unsaved. I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jewish person. And anyone that is considered a Gentile means they are not of the Jewish descent. So he's not talking about every person not being saved. He's just pointing out the fact that there are unsaved people. And he says, these people who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Sometimes we look around us and we see someone who has never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. And we as saved people, we sometimes look and we want to know, well, how did they get all of this? How did they become so prosperous? Well, it says in that verse that they are able to work all uncleanness with greediness. It doesn't only mean that they gain more and more worldly possessions. It means that they continually get worse and worse sinful, more sinful, if I could put it that way. They give themselves over to lasciviousness. And lasciviousness means that it is lewdness, filthiness, indecent sexually. And notice the word uncleanness in that verse, verse 19. But this is dirty, sinful, and especially involving or guilty of committing a sexual sin. Evidently, people were coming into that local church and they were trying to get people to understand, well, you can do all of these things. And, you know, God's not going to care. But God does care. He wants us who name Him as our God, who names Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're not to live like the unsaved people of the world, but we are to live for our Lord and Savior who gave His life for us. And He's alive today. He rose from the grave for us. Well, lasciviousness, filthiness, uncleanness, dirty, sinful. Greediness, that verse says, greediness is wanting more and more. And this is the people that we look up to sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that we look up to them as a saved person, but we look up to them as saying, well, they're very successful. Well, many times they're greedy. They want more and more. They're not satisfied with what a person has. Their God, many times, is money. That's what a lot of unsaved people live for, is money. And that is something that you and I, we need to look to the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money, unless you make money your God. If you want to serve God, you need to put the money aside and serve God. You want to look to God to take care of you, not to the money. Now, we need money in order to live, but we should never love money to the point of putting it in front of God. We need to be serving God and looking to Him. We need to look to Him that He is the great provider. He is the one that gives us the breath of life to earn money. He's the one who takes care of us and gives us the health that we need in order to earn money. We should never forget that. Without God, we can't earn money. But we should never look to money as something that that we put above God. Now, the people, it talks about people of past feeling. Now, I want to read that verse again. In Ephesians 4:19, it says, who being past feeling, well, just read that part. Who being past feeling, he's talking about unsaved people. The people who are past feeling are those spoken of in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, where it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, now folks, we're living in the latter times. It's getting closer and closer to the time the Lord Jesus is going to come back and say, come up hither to those of us who know Him as Lord and Savior. He's coming back for us in the clouds, the Bible says. We're going to be raptured out of here. And the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, Paul's warning these people, not only in the book of Ephesians, but also in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. He says, people's going to come in to your midst, in other words, into your church, and they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they will not listen to anyone. They do not want to do what is right. They will not listen to God. And sometimes we get a little upset as we witness for the Lord and we try to help. It may be even a brother or sister in Christ that we try to help, and they simply seems like they will not listen to us. Well, we should never get discouraged by that. We should simply say, oh, God, help that person. You see, if they won't listen to God, they're not going to listen to us. And we need to pray for them and pray that not only will the unsaved listen to the voice of the Lord and get saved, but also that saved person who needs help, that saved person who's strayed away from God. Doesn't mean they're lost. It means that they have broken fellowship with the Lord. They've done something wrong and they've gotten away from God. And maybe it is they've gotten to a point for the love of money or something like that. They're placing something above God. Well, we need to pray for those individuals. We don't want to turn our backs on them, but we want to pray for them. And I want to read the verse again in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, where it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. It's going to happen, he says, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That doesn't mean that they're unsaved. They're going to depart from the faith. That means that they're looking at something else. Now, they're saved by grace through faith, the Bible says. Once you're saved for eternity, the Bible says. So these people are saved. It says they shall depart from the faith. What happens? How does this happen? They give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, of course, this last part could be speaking of an unsaved person, their conscience is seared. In other words, God just simply cannot get through to them. The Holy Spirit deals with them, but they simply will not listen to God. But that saved person gets off track sometimes, and they listen to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Well, go back and you read the preceding verses, and you'll see once again that Paul is speaking of, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking of the unsaved people. He's speaking of someone who has come in and tried to lead the church astray. And Paul says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Now, Paul's telling the church people of Ephesus that they have not been taught the wrong, but the right. And I believe Paul is telling them they have no excuse for doing wrong. Why? Because they have been taught the truth. They have learned the truth in Jesus Christ. They've had to have learned it or they wouldn't be saved. They've had to have learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. They've had to been into the Bible as such. In other words, they had the Old Testament, and they were receiving the epistles that Paul the Apostle was writing to them, the letters, and they had been taught personally the Word of God. And remember, the Word of God was given, as we read Paul the Apostle, we read the things that he has written. That's the Word of God. And he sent these letters, these epistles, to these people, and not only in a church at Ephesus, but the church at Corinth, the church at Colossae. We may see that later on. And so many of the churches, the early churches, Paul the Apostle wrote to and visited. There's no excuse for doing wrong, he's telling these people, because you've been taught the truth, and they learned the truth in Jesus Christ. You see here, Paul draws a contrast of a Christian life so as to make it evident how completely inconsistent it is with the character of a godly man to defile himself with the abominations of the Gentiles, in other words, the unsaved people. And it's because the Gentiles, and we read about that in verse 17, it's because the Gentiles walk in darkness. The unsaved people walk in darkness. And they therefore do not distinguish between right and wrong. But on the other hand, those on whom the truth of God has shined ought to live in a different manner. They need to live, and we need to live as saved people differently than the unsaved people do. And it's not surprising that those who yield to the vanity, remember we talked about vanity in another study, in the preceding study, it's not surprising that those who yield to the vanity of the senses as a rule of life also yield themselves up to base lusts. But the knowledge received of the doctrine of Christ teaches us to renounce our natural tendencies. When we think of this, we think those whose life does not differ from that of the unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ, or they've forgotten, they've been led astray, because the knowledge of Christ causes us to realize the humiliation and shame caused by the flesh. The Bible says this, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Next time, we'll pick up here and we'll continue our study in the book of Ephesians.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.